Like every Monday night, you are checking out Breakfast Super Raw.
Bon appetit, as Don, Tony, and Mish dish out their opinions about the world of pro wrestling, sports, news, and pop culture. Breakfast Super Raw.
And now, your host, Mish and Don, Tony.
Did we get that awful shit again tonight with Ricochet and Sheamus?
Yeah.
Good evening, everybody. Good evening, co-host. It is Monday night, May 17th, 2021. This is Breakfast Soup Raw. You annoyed yet? I am Don Tony. He is...
Anthony Missionary Thomas. What's going on?
I promise I'll stop with that. Oh, my God. To see grown adults acting creeped out, acting like we're weirded out because somebody is hitting a soundboard button. Oh, my God. We need live fans back. ASAP. Stop this hokey stuff. And what was even worse, did you see the match? The tag team match with Natalya and Tamina versus Nia and Shayna today?
Yeah, I did. It was, Shayna lost another match.
Yeah.
But, Shayna lost another match.
Reginald.
The fire. Yes.
Reginald blinded. Fire. Blinded by the light. Wasn't that a song?
Yes.
I mean, look how far this guy is from there. And he's doing the whole blinded storyline. Look at that. Look how far back he is. I mean, oh, please fire this motherfucker. He just, that's just god awful. That is just awful. I mean, it seems, and you and I talked about it last week, that it's only a matter of time we see Alexa Bliss in the background with Nia Jax and the X across the eyes. Kind of getting a little bit of revenge. This is the Bray Wyatt storyline redone. Instead of puppets, we got...
Yeah, I don't know why she's helping them either. I don't know. It's kind of like she was doing the Bliss Talk segment tonight, too. But she was doing the Bliss Talk segment as the crazy Alexa Bliss. And she's still using the Bray Wyatt music, too, which isn't really helping any matters. And where the fuck has Bray been lately? I want to know where Bray is, too. Like, he's just fallen off the face of the planet. And why in the hell is she helping Tamina and Natalya, of all people? Like, that just makes no sense to me. Like, there's no connection there that I can think of. Was Tamina nice to Alexa Bliss?
I thought Lily hates all women.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell. They're not even making sense with their own storyline.
No more. How's this? Every time I press it, I have to give away a shirt. So I won't press it for the rest of the night. I'm not giving away nothing today. Giving away enough prizes. So I don't get it, man. I mean, that's just awful. I mean, playing the mind games like this. Ah, God. It just, I don't know. I mean, I do want to start off with something. Let's just clear up something. Because you know the bitter bitches are going to be on social media all over the main event tonight. Oh, after all of that hype of somebody taking on Bobby Lashley, we got Kofi Kingston. Yes, on any other night, I probably would say the same thing. You teased us for 3 hours to give us fucking Kofi Kingston. But I think that there is a different reason tonight why we got Kofi versus Bobby Lashley. 1 year ago today, we had the unfortunate passing of Shad Gaspard. And that is Shad Gaspard with MVP in a bar watching Kofi Kingston make history. And, to see the look on his face, I mean, that was a very, emotional moment. And 1 year ago, we lost Shad Gaspard. Yes, Bobby Lashley had nothing to do with that picture, but, you know, it just, it was a very big emotional moment. And I honestly think that this main event, I think no matter who would have faced Bobby Lashley tonight, they would have gotten the fruit roll-up because of Drew McIntyre, and the outcome would have been the same. Whoever beat Lashley tonight. Now, when you think about it, it would be stupid for T-Bar or Mace to get the fruit roll-up victory because of Drew McIntyre, because T-Bar and Mace have been fucking with Drew McIntyre. Shelton Benjamin probably would have been the only logical choice.
Right. Shelton would have actually been a great choice because there was connections there via storyline, as well as connections with Chad and connections with Kofi and everybody else too. So I think Shelton would have kind of see, I guess Kofi makes the best choice because of the situation, but I think Shelton would have been a fantastic choice too.
I thought it was stupid, though, when Cedric Alexander said to Shelton, remember when Shelton said that he'll accept the challenge to take on Lashley tonight, and all you heard was...
Yeah.
And the he slow says, clap. You finally stepped up to take on Bobby Lashley. Cedric, I don't know how bad your memory is. March 29th, 2021, not even 2 months ago, Cedric Alexander took on Bobby Lashley. And guess what? You could have gone off the air, especially with all of the frustration of the Hurt Business splitting up. Shelton Benjamin got choked out 6 weeks ago. Going off the air with Shelton Benjamin getting an abrupt victory over Bobby Lashley would have done a few things. But again, I let it go because there's no doubt in my mind that putting Kofi in this match, Kofi was close with Chad, as was MVP, obviously. I don't know how close Bobby Lashley was, but I think this is all intertwined. So, again, when you see the bitter bitches out there, you might want to show them a couple of these screenshots and let them think, you know, before you complain about every little fart that goes on in wrestling, there might be another reason behind it. So, but how's everybody
doing tonight? Well, that's not the only thing that WWE forgot. I mean, let's not gloss over the fact that WWE first said that it was the first title that Tamina had won in 10 years. And then, obviously, tonight they said it was the very first title Tamina had won ever.
Right.
Forgetting about the 24/7 title, the what do you want to call it? Yeah. The hardcore, not hardcore championship belt that she did have for a moment there.
Well, they're trying to rewrite history.
I know. It's just silly. It's silly because it's like, I understand that that's a joke belt to begin with, but it matters to someone to make it, right? Like, doesn't it matter or no?
It does matter.
Do you think it matters? Okay.
It's a title. It's a WWE championship. See, at the time, I don't think they ever thought they were going to put the tag belt on Tamina anytime soon. So it didn't matter who was getting the 24/7 championship. It was just try to be creative and funny and unexpected. So they put it on Tamina. Then Tamina started to get a little momentum. Started last year with Money in the Bank, I think, and it picked up since. And then when she got that nice reaction to WrestleMania, a little bit more than others, WWE's like, you know, maybe we should put the tag belt on her. But we got to make
not it. Not even just that.
Huh?
Not even just that. There was a point where Tamina, there were vignettes. Now, maybe you remember this, maybe you don't. But there was a blip in the system for about half a minute where Tamina had new vignettes of her being sent to the crazy house.
Oh, yeah. And they deleted it because they don't want to joke about mental health.
But it was an attempt on WWE's part to give Tamina a different kind of gimmick. Right. It was proving to a lot of fans of Tamina's that WWE cared enough to at least make these vignettes and try and design her a new character. So,
but you see, they couldn't just, you know, say it's a first tag team title win or women's championship.
Right.
They are now trying to make us forget she won the 24/7 title because her winning this championship, if you act like the 24/7 title never happened, then...
Wasn't she also the first woman that won the 24/7 championship too?
I don't know about that. Okay. I mean, there was a couple of women that won it. Candace Michelle won it. There's a few women that won. Did Medusa win it?
Oh, I don't know if that was before, though.
Props to Medusa. This is why Impact Wrestling, you don't have people go on social media, TV, or whatever, and say, I'm the champion, and I will accept all challenges for all feds, like you did with Deonna Purrazzo. Because now Medusa stepped up, and Medusa really wants a match. And they're going to act like nothing. That's why you don't do things like that. That's why not many people do things like that. But that's for another day. Yesterday was WrestleMania Backlash. Very predictable pay-per-view. Overall, what'd you think of it?
C. I gave it a C. There was some fun moments in there. There was some campiness that was really off the wall. The last-minute integration of Batista and Army of the Dead with everything Backlash just kind of threw me. And then the magical zombies that came out of nowhere with Johnny Drip Drip and The Miz. I don't know, man. And then the zombies all rush the ring when The Miz loses.
My favorite zombie to tickle from last night, I named him Sean.
Oh, Sean.
No reason why. I just named him Sean.
It was very weird. You know, the women's match, actually both women's matches were a little bit of a letdown. I expected more out of them. Bayley's not pulling the heel weight that she did when she was up against Sasha. I don't see that she has that kind of fire in her. When she was acting heel against Sasha, there was a lot for her to work with because she had such a background with Sasha. And Bianca Belair is falling flat, in my opinion, as this uber stomping clap, take your prayers, baby face that she's working out there. It's too much. I mean, she got the whole point. Like, I was even joking with Joe last night. I think she was a better role model for girls when she was a heel, when she was confident, when she was cocky, when she was, you know, expressing her talents.
A little brash.
You know? Right. Like, I don't think she was over the top at that point. And now it's like she's just so cheesy. She's so fucking cheesy. It's like this is not the same person that won the title. So I don't know. As far as that goes, you know, I don't know. I had problems with a little bit of it. I was actually very surprised that I enjoyed the Rey Mysterio Dominic Mysterio match so well. Bobby Roode and Dolph Ziggler did a good job as the Beverly Brothers 2.0. You know, I really enjoyed the hell out of it. It was really well set up. There was a dynamic storyline that was being told. There was psychology in the match. You know, Mysterio going as far as he could for his son, and then his son comes out there injured and bruised. Anyway, it was a very good story. It was a simple fucking story, and it was really nice to watch. And I was very surprised with all the wacky, zany storylines that they've had Rey Mysterio and Dominic over the last 6 months. I was fine with that. It was a good show last night for them, you know. But yeah, positives, negatives all the way around. So yeah.
By the way, Bob O'Mac, he doesn't mean that seriously about Miz. This has to do with last night. So as I said yesterday, they were gonna give Miz some time off, which you heard yesterday on the show. Today Morrison was by himself, took on Damian Priest in a lumberjack match. This time we didn't have zombies, but you know, last night's pay-per-view, you know, it was what it was. I think it'll be a forgettable pay-per-view, with the exception of the Mysterios getting the title win. I think when we look back on it, I don't think it really did much for Cesaro. That's just the way I feel right now.
That was heartbreaking, too, because and I really praised the hell out of Cesaro last night. Look, it's one thing, even if you don't like Cesaro, it's amazing that Cesaro can put on such a good match with Roman, with anybody really, that he was selling so much, and I was joking with Joe again about this, that he forced Michael Cole to talk about his injuries. Michael Cole, as an announcer, is pretty lame sometimes. He kind of goes to left field. He doesn't talk directly about what's going on sometimes. When he does, he flubs it up. But Cesaro being out in the ring and, you know, grabbing his arm and his injury and stuff like that, he was forcing Cole to talk about it. And I thought that was great, because that's what announcers should do. They should address what's going on in the ring. But it was almost like Cesaro wasn't going to let Cole fuck up his match. Cesaro was going above and beyond last night. And, I mean, I know as far as what's happening, we knew Roman was going to win. Was anybody really surprised that Roman won last night? I wasn't. Nobody in our Discord really was surprised by it. You know, but at the same time, you look at Cesaro and you got to think that people are looking at him in the back going, damn, why doesn't this guy have a title belt? Damn.
Not only that. Why was he the only one to lose clean?
Right.
No interference, no clusterfuck. You know, people interfered in the match. No, we'll just leave everybody in the back, which to me makes Cesaro look worse out of all of this. And then after the match is over, he gets his ass handed to him from Jey Uso and Seth Rollins.
And is he just that much of a company guy that he's not a guy that asks to like be promoted in the company? Is he just a guy? I don't know. I mean, I've never heard a bad word about the guy. You never hear anything like, oh my God, Cesaro is such a pain. You never hear that. But is Cesaro such a company guy that he just does whatever they say as opposed to kind of like asking to elevate his own career? Does he not want to be in the main event regularly? Like, I don't know. Have you ever heard anything about that
I think he's content. I think he feels that he's definitely worthy to be a champion. I mean, that's the reason why you want to go to WWE. I mean, you want to be the head of the table. But I just think right now, I said it a couple of weeks ago, if he would have been taking on Drew McIntyre or someone else, I might have enjoyed it a little bit more. In the match, I enjoyed it yesterday, but there was no chance of him beating Roman Reigns. And then, out of all opponents, Jimmy Uso doesn't come out. Jey Uso doesn't come out. There's no cheating, no nothing. So you can't even, I mean, they did that with Kevin Owens. They did that with Daniel Bryan. They've done it with others. Like, there's always Roman Reigns winning because of someone assisting. So yesterday, let's stick it to Cesaro even more, and we'll just have him lose completely clean. And yes, Friday, I wouldn't be surprised if Cesaro cuts a promo. I'm still here, and this is and that. And I think still it may lead to Hell in the Cell, Seth Rollins versus Cesaro. But I just don't feel like Cesaro is remaining in the title picture. He could get another shot, but it doesn't feel it.
How do you feel about that? I mean, next month, usually we go to Money in the Bank, but next month we're going straight to Hell in a Cell. And Money in the Bank doesn't even have a date yet.
Well, I said yesterday, I think, without trying to get too deep into it, I think Hell in a Cell for this year, because of COVID, I think Hell in a Cell is the WrestleMania. What I mean by that is, usually WrestleMania is the culmination of storylines. And usually the Raw after WrestleMania is the beginning of shifts, going in different directions, starting new feuds. This year, it did not feel like there was any shift for the most part after WrestleMania. The Raw after WrestleMania was very uneventful. The SmackDown after WrestleMania was very uneventful. And now I feel like they're going to use Hell in a Cell to culminate some feuds. I think Lashley and Drew McIntyre are definitely going to be in a cell. I don't know if Braun is added to it as well. But I think Hell in a Cell, if for this year and probably this year only, will be the focal point where some feuds come to an end. And I think Rollins and Cesaro might be one. I think Braun, Drew, and Lashley, or at least Lashley and Drew, that will culminate at Hell in a Cell. You will see, you know, maybe Bayley and Bianca has a rematch at Hell in a Cell. So I think for this year, instead of WrestleMania being the end and the day after the beginning of different directions, because fans are coming back in less than 2 months, Hell in a Cell is going to be it. And then next year, it'll probably just go back to Mania being, you know, the beginning of the new season, as some people call it. So I do not think, Chris, in any way, shape, or form, Kofi is being put back in the title picture. Again, I think tonight was the tribute for Shad. whoever was going to face Bobby Lashley was going to win with the fruit roll-up. And Drew McIntyre was going to be the cause of that. And as we said earlier, it would have made no sense for T-Bar and Mace to get the win with Drew McIntyre's help. You go up and down the list. I mean, you could have had Damian Priest come out there. And that's something I really couldn't stand, Mish, earlier. You know, it's an open challenge. You have right. on camera, people accepted it. So why right. didn't Adam Pearce accept any of these people? Why didn't he say yes to Damian Priest, Shelton Benjamin, T-Bar and Mace, even though that wouldn't have made sense? I mean, when you issue an open challenge, what, the theme music has to hit in order for it to be official? Like, you have That's multiple people throughout yeah. the night accept it.
Right. That's the new way. It seems like whoever's theme music hits first is the one that accepts the open challenge. It's not like back during the Attitude Era where you'd have four or five guys come out and be like, no, wait a minute. I accepted the fucking challenge. You got to wait in line, because then that becomes an angle on its own. And then usually people come out and say, hey, you know what? Now all four of you have to have a match tonight. And whoever wins that match will finish the open challenge later on tonight. And that's usually the way it's happened in the past when you have more than one challenger. But it seems like the shortcut now is just hit the entrance music, whoever's it might be, you know?
Yeah.
And I kind of agree with you. I don't see, you know, Kofi Kingston and Drew and Bobby Lashley in a match for the title. But I would say that it is nice to see that this open challenge might bring in new challengers besides Drew and Braun. I'm okay with Kofi at least having matches against Bobby Lashley. I'd like to see Shelton Benjamin and Bobby Lashley go at it, because they've completely ignored the breakup of the Hurt Business since it happened. They really have. Cedric's lost his damn mind, and he's anti-Shelton Benjamin, because the story that they're telling with Cedric Benjamin is that the whole reason that they were kicked out was because Shelton wasn't good enough. So it's like there's this whole feud that should be happening that WWE isn't really focusing on for some reason. And there's a lot of people that don't understand why the hell the Hurt Business broke up. I mean, it was just done 1 week, and then the next week they were gone, and it was right around WrestleMania, so you had everything else to worry about. I think it was just handled a little poorly, and I think now that WWE has a little time to slow down, I think now is when you have Shelton Benjamin confront Bobby Lashley. Hell, you have Cedric Benjamin, or Cedric Alexander, confront Bobby Lashley at the same time, and then you do have other people. You do have T-Bar. You do have Mace. There's two more guys that should at least be in the regular rotation against Bobby Lashley right now. Right. I don't want to see more Drew. I'm sorry. I know there's a lot of Drew McIntyre fans out there. I'm just tired. I'm tired of Drew. Drew's been around for a long minute. Let's rotate this up. I'm not saying that Drew shouldn't have another chance at the title, but let's try T-Bar and Mace. Let's try Shelton. Let's try Cedric. Let's try Kofi. Wow. Let's go down a different list for a little while.
Hell in a Cell is usually the pinnacle of some feuds. So I think we're going to have to endure at least another month or so for Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre. That's not going away anytime soon, especially the way they opened up with Raw tonight, you know, with Bobby Lashley. And for some reason, MVP, like, brings in a whole bunch of women
for
Bobby Lashley. You know, I thought that segment was so stupid for one reason and one reason only. You know,
MVP brought in some WAP.
Yeah, I have no complaint against the women themselves, but when Drew McIntyre hit the ring and punched Bobby Lashley once, Bobby Lashley left the ring, took off his shirt, and was all pissed off. And these women were screaming like there were shootings in the building. They wouldn't shut the fuck up. They were literally on the opposite side of the ring, like bending down and crouching over and climbing out of the ring, taking their time. Everybody is waiting for each other. And meanwhile, while they're getting out of the ring, like,
I don't want to say the obvious.
Shut up. Shut
up. I don't
want
to say the
That was more appealing than that. They're screaming like there's a shooting in the building. Shut up. I could see
what they do.
Lashley was getting his ass kicked in the ring, and they're all leaving. and they're all freaking out. They don't know what to do, and the camera's on them, but they're literally taking their time walking out of the ring. Lashley's on the rampway, and they're all screaming at the top of their lungs. I think the reason why the camera wasn't on them is I think some of them were laughing when they were doing it. I think they were laughing their ass off. I thought it was such a dumb segment, man. You didn't need that.
Really? Yeah, it was fine, dude. Girls freaking out like there's a shooting at the club. I'm sure. Look, I'm not going to say anything. I'm sure a couple of those girls might have seen a shooting at the club. That's all I'm going to say, DT. I'm just going to say, look, them freaking out, that's what they're supposed to do. Why in the fuck would a bunch of women that are not professional fighters want to be in the ring with two guys that are going at it, two behemoth guys that are going at it? So, yeah, them overreacting and screaming and stuff like that, that's fine, dude. That's what they're supposed to do. What did you want them to do, stand and fight? Did you want them to try and take
it was just too over the like, top, man.
What do you want them to do, take off their high heels and just start beating Drew McIntyre with it?
Yeah,
like,
it was a little too over the top for me. So, Crazy Cruiserweight, thank you very much, my friend. Main event results tonight, Lana and Naomi. They defeat Dana Brooke and Mandy Rose. And Mansoor over, I told you, beginning of the end of Cedric Alexander, his whatever that pinnacle was with the Hurt Business, that's it. He eats the pin over Mansoor. So it is what it is. You know, didn't we have a segment tonight where Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville were going to determine the new number one contenders or the new team to get a shot for Natty and Tamina? Why would Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville allow like Alexa Bliss to do hokey special effects and then feel, okay, well, you know, Nia, Shayna, you know, Alexa Bliss did what she did. That's it. You're gone. You know, no more title shot anytime soon. I mean, talk about step downward. Unless we get a little swerve and maybe they give it to the Riot Squad. Maybe it's not a Raw tag team, but, you know, I just feel like, man, how is it that the Raw and SmackDown women's tag team division seems to have gotten so light, I think is the right way to put it. So light. I don't get it. I mean, we can't come up with a nice makeshift tag team, you know, that could really kick ass. I just don't understand. And it's not like they let go 50 women and said there's no more women's division. This isn't 1995. You know, I don't know. I don't know why the women's tag team division looks so weak in WWE. I don't know.
It's because throughout the roster, I mean, if we took a second and we would look at the women in WWE on SmackDown and Raw, you'd see a lot of women that aren't really wrestling right now. You'd see a lot of talent that just isn't there. And they keep focusing on the same ones, you know? So it's partly a mix-up or a misuse of the talent that they have at hand and whatever else comes from that, so...
Shout out to AS7607. I hope you got my email. She says that she hasn't been keeping up with Raw as of late, and she didn't watch the pay-per-view yesterday. I'm with dead serious. We're not just saying this. Other than the Mysterios winning yesterday, if you missed the pay-per-view, you missed nothing. You really did not miss. I mean, there was some decent matches, but as far as storylines or shifts in direction, nothing. And, you know, especially when you think about it, why didn't Alexa Bliss do her hocus pocus stuff to help Tamina and Natty win the titles yesterday? I mean, because you think about this for a minute. I want to make a point. It seems that Alexa Bliss is doing the Bray Wyatt, getting revenge on the people who have slighted her in the past. So we're just going on that idea that this is all directed in some way towards Nia Jax. Shayna Baszler is a victim by circumstance. Okay. So if Alexa Bliss is truly trying to stick it to Nia Jax, what would be a more powerful way to do it? Causing Nia and Shayna to lose a rematch or causing Nia and Shayna to lose the titles? I didn't right. Alexa Bliss do the hocus pocus yesterday. That's how you maximize. You know, you kick somebody to the curb. You don't do it, you know, when nobody is looking around. Or that. You do it in front of a whole spectacle of people. Why did she right. not do that yesterday?
Lack of foresight. That's all it is. I don't think that there's any kind of, you know, deep mystical interpretation of why she chose to do it tonight and not yesterday. I think it's just a lack of foresight is all it is. And it's more falls onto Alexa Bliss's character because her character is all over the place, DT. I'm not even sure what she's supposed to be. She's so chaotic. She's such a misunderstood portion of the show. I don't even know where to go. I don't know if she's a babyface. I don't know if she's a heel. Is she supposed to be dead now? Is she a demon goddess? Is she still part of the Bray Wyatt thing? If Bray Wyatt's gone and she has no connection there, is she still considered part of the women's roster? Is she an interview host now? Because that's what she's been doing forever. Like, it's difficult even segueing into anything that involves Bliss. Don't get me wrong. The campiness is fine. The goofiness is fine. When it involves Bray Wyatt, it's perfectly fine. That's what she's good at. But when she's trying to go out there, I mean, I thought it was funny tonight when she had Natalya and Tamina there. And Tamina's like, I don't even want to be here. Can we go?
Yeah.
Can we go? This shit's stupid.
Why didn't Lily tell Alexa Bliss, this fucking bitch over here? Yeah, look how she's talking right. to you. She's acting, she's insulting your segment on national TV. Fuck her up.
Right.
Cause them to lose the titles again. Wait,
right.
Why does Lily not give a shit about that? I'm talking storyline. You see how stupid it sounds?
It makes sense. Oh, it does. It does. And Tamina made perfect sense. Tamina reacted to Alexa Bliss the way that people should react to Alexa Bliss. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you? You're sitting here talking to me with your stupid doll. I'm going to go. And Natalia's over here like, no, wait. And I'm like, why, Natalia? Why in the fuck does she have to wait? Leave. Go have your match. But it's like they're pushing this narrative that I don't even know if they know where it's
going
to go.
Yeah. It seems like they're just going on the fly, man. Because
right. What's the end game here? Alexa Bliss is going to get into a tag match with somebody?
Nobody.
Alexa Bliss is going to go after
right. Nobody should talk to Lily like that. No one should talk about Lily like that. Tamina right. says what she says, and it's okay. And then Lily and Alexa Bliss helped him win?
Mm-hmm.
Stupid, man. Fucking stupid.
Yeah, I agree.
Cruiserweight. Miss, just last week you said WWE should do recaps. And should be after WrestleMania Backlash, and that WWE should yes. also use the video footage of the match as well. Someone in yes. WWE might have been listening to us for insight last week, yes, because of last night after the pay-per-view. They did that.
They did that tonight, and they did it the smart way. So they kind of gave you the best of both worlds. So what they did was, in the little promo packages that were highlighting what happened at WWE Backlash, WrestleMania Backlash, sorry, they were doing the video package where it would show everything, but the actual impact of the moves was frozen. Freeze frame.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, that's pretty fucking slick. So whoever came up with that idea, that's like the best of both worlds. It doesn't make you feel like, oh God, I'm just watching like pictures off of internet. That's the problem. Is when they just throw up the pictures by themselves, it looks like a picture that you can just see on your Twitter
right.
or something you can just see on the website. But when they put the motion in there, when they show like part of the actual lead up, and then they do the freeze frame to the actual move itself, it's like, okay, that looks like a production piece. It looks nice. I got to give them credit. It was okay.
Fine. I liked it. It was very reminiscent, especially of Attitude Era, where they would show the still shots and you would hear the audio in the background and hear right. Jim Ross cutting, you know, the play-by-play.
Well, they did that with Michael Cole more than a few times sure. too, but I like the actual physical motion. You want to see how it goes. You know, that's the one thing I will say. When it comes to WWE production and the matches, like some of the fun stuff that they do with, like even last night at WrestleMania Backlash, when they do the instant replays, some of those instant replays are fun to watch because what they do is they slow down the moment. Like when Roman Reigns, you know, connected with Cesaro with the Superman punch off the ropes. It looked really good on the instant replay, because what they did was they slowed down the punch, and then as soon as it got to the point, they fucking fast forwarded it.
Yeah.
And it just has this little kick to it, because as far as wrestling goes, we don't want to see the wrestlers miss the punch. We don't want to see that. We don't want to see them slap the thigh. We don't want to see that. So the best way that they do it is they slow it down almost to like a matrix effect. And then from there, they speed it right up. And it feels like this really neat little instant replay production piece. And it's very well done. And I know all they're doing is they're just speeding up the knob in the back. That's all they're doing from the truck.
Yeah.
But whoever's doing it is so proficient with it that they make it look really good.
Yeah.
And it's little tricks like that that WWE does that makes things look so much more professional.
Yeah. Thank you, Cruiserweight, for the super chat. Brandon Jones. What's up? He wants to know, how you
hey,
doing?
What's going on, Brandon? Much love, dude. Thanks for fucking the $5.
Yeah.
Appreciate it, sir. Yeah. Thank you.
So much love, Brandon. Much love. Hope you're doing well.
Yeah, have a good one, dude.
Brandon, hope you enjoyed building on that.
Yeah.
He'll be building on that comment in a minute. We'll go down the list. Also,
okay.
He's sick and tired of Drew going after the championship.
I think we totally only have agree to with
door
you.
To Hell in a Cell.
I mean, he's had it for so long. He's been going back and forth with it for so long. Look, I understand that Drew is a guy that's going to be revolving around the main event for a while, but there's no reason that you can't change it up. And I think that that's the biggest problem with Drew is he's suffering from Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, John Cena disease, where it's like once you put somebody in the orbit of the championship, they just don't seem to leave. Drew McIntyre needs a break. Somebody else needs to go in there and fight Bobby. Bobby's a newer champion. It's time to go with somebody different. Once again, like I said before, DT, it's not like you can't go back to Drew. But why does it have to be month after month after month after month after month after month? It's like, all right, stop it. Because what you're doing is you're ruining this guy's career. Because you're going to get people so fucking sick of Drew McIntyre that when he does come back and he does get into the title hunt and people want to believe that he can become champion again, no one's going to care because you've already beaten this dead horse to death, you know?
I mean, they've been feuding with each other. It's got to be close to 3 months now. It's got to be about 3 months.
Yeah, but how long has he been involved? How long has he had the title? Plus, how long has he been in the title hunt? You know what I mean? Like, it's been, it's what, 16 months, 17 months? I'm tired.
Man, I was hoping Keith Lee was coming back tonight. I was holding out hope Keith Lee was going to be the surprise. But then, you know, when I started thinking about the anniversary of Shad's passing, I said, okay, you know, I kind of see why they're going with this. So, but I think I'll tolerate it to Hell in a Cell. Especially if Braun is kept in the mix as well. But after Hell in a Cell, it's time to move on. And I segue to this with Chris Silver. I don't think anybody out there wants to see Drew and Bobby Lashley go all the way into SummerSlam. I mean, what it feels like right now, that and I brought this up yesterday. I think that's another reason why they moved up Hell in a Cell. Because they could culminate some this is how I look at it, for real. I think WWE had every intention to ending some of the feuds that they were doing at WrestleMania. And now, because July is really the month where they're going to start having live fans in attendance, they put it on hold and said, you know what? We're not going to go in different directions just yet. Let's do it until June. And then once we get through June, we could start pushing some new direction, and then it could culminate at, you know, in July with live fans in attendance. That's what it feels like. And I think Hell in a Cell might be the best scenario, because if you don't put it this way, you're not I don't know how Thunderdome is gonna look inside the cells, but not every match that night is inside a cell. So for the regular matches, Thunderdome will look fine. But for the Hell in a Cell matches, a lot of people used to complain about, you know, the color and the lighting when Fiend was in the matches. So you could do Hell in a Cell without any live fans there. And this is the most beautiful thing about it. And I always remind people how Thunderdome operates. If you have a Hell in a Cell in the arena, it's not like the people who are on Thunderdome just see bars in front of them. They actually see what we see on TV. So when they have cameramen inside Hell in a Cell, the Thunderdome fans, their view is not blocked in any way, shape, or form. They see what we see on TV. So for logistics, for storyline, for live fans coming back, this year I think Hell in a Cell was sacrificed to basically postpone the end of some feuds. Instead of it happening in April, okay, they'll end in June. And by SummerSlam, we'll see if Big E ends up going against Roman Reigns. We'll see.
Now let me throw this out here too, because retroactively, right after WrestleMania and right after Backlash is usually when WWE starts testing the waters. Sometimes they'll give somebody a championship just to see how the crowd reacts. Sometimes they start brand new feuds right around now just to see how they pan out. And it's also the time to test new people. Like, what was it? Oh my gosh. Who was the match? Drew Gulak and
Angel Garza.
Angel Garza tonight. That is a simple, atypical mid-card feud. It's not a highlight. It's not going to be a feud that is going to main event anything, but they're continuing this feud on and on, I think, in order to test both of these guys. This is like one of those matches. This is one of those feuds that happens after WrestleMania that WWE focuses on without forcing the crowd into it. They're not going to give it a lot of TV time. They're not going to give it a lot of airtime. But what they are going to do is they're going to make it prominent enough just to see how the audience reacts. Because it could either go one way, it could go the other way, or coincidentally, the crowd could shit on the whole thing. So I think this is one of those scenarios. I think, you know, Elias being out there a little bit more now, you know, that's another thing. Maybe Elias might get another turn on the wheel. Maybe there's a future for Elias. Like, this is the time that you don't want to stick with Drew McIntyre. This is the time that you want to start doing different things so that by the time you roll around to SummerSlam and you start rolling around to Survivor Series, you're already laying the groundwork for who's going to be around for the main event of next year's WrestleMania. When you hit Royal Rumble, at that point, people already have it in their minds. WWE already has a plan from the road to WrestleMania, from the Royal Rumble to WrestleMania. And I know WWE's been really bad the last couple of WrestleManias with a very short amount of foresight when it came to planning, you know, who is going to have these matches. Even with the 2 days of WrestleMania, it felt very short-sighted. And if it wasn't for the rain, I think that night one might have been horrendous. Yeah. But because of the rain and the changeup, it was amazing. But it's kind of like there's a plan. WWE's always had this little plan, and they've been doing it for decades, and it works. So it's like, do we still want to believe that this is going to be another year of Drew McIntyre and the title hunt? Or do we feel better believing that you can have Bobby Lashley versus all this different talent succeed or fail? And then by the time SummerSlam goes around, if Bobby Lashley still has the title, do we start seeing the future there?
I think they're holding off Brock Lesnar and Becky Lynch for an extra month. Once we get live fans back, it's going to go into full gear. I mean, full-blown mode. And by the way, I know we talked about it a little bit yesterday, but expect those rumors of WWE coming to Madison Square Garden to really, really intensify, because our governor today announced that this Wednesday, anybody who's vaccinated, no more masks. Individual businesses could still require masks, but vaccinated. And he was talking about venues. I don't like anybody in government, but I took notice of this today, and he said something very important about Madison Square Garden because the Knicks are in the playoffs. He said, He's fine if the Garden is 100% capacity. The Garden right. is privately owned. The Garden could require everybody in the arena to be vaccinated. And if you want to fill your building with just vaccinated people, you could go 100%. Now, do right. I think WWE is going to go that route? No, I think there would be a lot of, pun intended, backlash as a result. And what right. they could do is they can have one side of the arena, you know, vaccinated people, or two or three sides of the arena, and then have one section sectioned off for non-vaccinated people that have to wear a mask. You know, it's going to look a little ridiculous to see half the building without a mask and half the building with. So I don't know how right. the logistics will be with that. WWE may just turn around and require everyone to wear a mask. If they want to do that, they can do that. But the point is, now with New York going back for vaccinated people to no masks, no limitations, other than public transit and courts and jail and stuff like that, this intensifies Madison Square Garden getting WWE, because apparently the Garden is prepared for the playoffs. And what I've always been talking about on the other shows, especially on Wednesday night, it's not just buildings being able to house wrestling again. It's these buildings have to have enough employees to handle it. I mean, you're not going to have Madison Square Garden open, even if you only seat 5,000 people and you don't have enough people to work security and vendors and this and that and cleaning up and setting things up. So the fact that they're doing this, expect those rumors of WWE at the Garden to intensify. Right. It's going to happen. It's going
to
happen.
Are you looking forward to it? Huh? I know I am. Are you looking forward to July? Are you looking forward to venues being opened back up? Are you a little concerned about it? I mean, what's your thoughts there?
No, not concerned at all. I've been vaccinated since February. And you and I had a nice little debate discussion on Patreon last week. It was just last week when you and I were talking about, you know, what's the percentage of people who are fully vaccinated that not only get the virus, but can spread it.
Right.
And when you saw that controversy with the Yankees, you know, a couple of things that people didn't focus on. Number one, the Yankees, the people who got reinfected was Johnson & Johnson, which has a much lower efficacy rate than Moderna or Pfizer. Second thing is, right. is that even though it hasn't been made public, some of those players were within that two-week time frame of getting vaccinated, so they didn't wait out the full 2 weeks. And the third thing, and this is probably the most important part of it, is they tested positive, but almost all of the players showed no symptoms whatsoever. So you could be reinfected, but the level of virus in you is very, very low. And it because right. it's so low, you could literally cough in front of someone, and you're likely not to get that person infected because there's such little virus in your system. It's there and your body's kicking the shit out of it.
Let me ask you something, because if this is something that we didn't bring up on the Patreon, but I'm kind of curious if you know something that I don't. WWE has been very vocal lately with the vaccination talk. They have vignettes and commercial spots that they put up where they tell people to get vaccinated. Now, does this, I guess, assume that all WWE talent and staff are vaccinated?
No. They're not making it a requirement. They are heavily pushing for the talent to be vaccinated. I think probably Nia Jax is the most notorious one because she's so disliked. She doesn't believe in vaccines. There are some people in WWE that do not believe in vaccines, do not trust it yet, do not feel comfortable yet, and they want to wait for FDA to approve it as, you know, regular vaccine. So the answer is no. Not everybody in WWE is vaccinated, and they're not making it a job requirement. They're not making it a requirement. Really? And honestly, I don't even know if you could force anybody to be vaccinated, because they're technically independent contractors. Sure, you could turn around and say, well, if you're not vaccinated, you can't work the show. I don't think WWE is going to be that stringent about it. But
don't you think that it's almost safer for them to get the vaccinations?
Oh, absolutely.
Not just necessarily.
I don't think anybody should be forced to be vaccinated.
But when you're put in a situation where you're greeting and meeting, and soon to be greeting and meeting thousands of people a day again, it just seems like it would be very irresponsible not to be vaccinated and be a WWE entertainer at the same time. I don't know.
No, I agree. You're right. With you.
But, I mean, there's going to be meet and greets. I mean, we're talking about them having open buildings again, and we're going to be filling up the venues again. The next step is the signings, right?
Right.
The next step is the meet
and greets. Maybe they don't have the signings for people who are not vaccinated. And the ones who are not vaccinated, maybe they will wear a mask. Well, they will wear a mask still.
And what, forever?
For the foreseeable future, for the next 6 months to a year, maybe. You know, I mean, it's really up to the individual person. Look, I'm fully vaccinated. Right. I still wear a mask because I just don't want to deal with people around me freaking out, you know, because people,
right, but
there's a lot of people that aren't used to being without masks again.
But, we're talking about entertainers that it's their entire job to meet thousands of people. You know what I mean? There's a big difference between you who deals with customers on a personal basis and you deal with a random few hundred customers a week or whatever else like that. We're talking about people that are literally going to be in the limelight everywhere they go.
I wouldn't be surprised if smaller wrestling companies, some of the companies out there, will not book anybody unless they show proof they're vaccinated. I expect that. Look, I said that schools were going to require vaccinations. I said a year ago that you're going to have restaurants and venues that are going to require vaccinations. So you're going to see that happen. I just don't think you're going to see it in WWE. I think that some people who are not vaccinated, they may do a virtual signing. The ones who are fully vaccinated, they may be more inclined to have them have a regular meet and greet with certain wrestlers.
Right.
They might keep distance, you know, until the pandemic is over. But I don't think, even though I believe in the vaccine and I recommend everybody get it, I still respect anybody that doesn't get it. And I don't expect everybody on the roster. And if they don't get it, that's their prerogative. So we'll get back to Alexa Bliss. I know there was a couple other chats that came in. So let's just fill in some of the blanks for Raw tonight. We get to Alexa Bliss again. We'll talk about it. By the way, for my YouTube channel members, I did a members only Q&A earlier today, video. Tomorrow I'll put up the thread for the TNA, which is text and answers. So we rotate every other week that way. So there's a Q&A every week from now on. Puffy89, congratulations to you, my friend. Not only did you win the contest yesterday on YouTube, but you got every match right, and you were in 1 second of predicting the tiebreaker correct. The match time yesterday was 16 minutes, 4 seconds, Bayley versus Bianca. You predicted 16:05, so you are the winner. And Nia Rofe came in second. He missed the tiebreaker by about, I don't know, 10 seconds? Yeah, I think you were off by 10 seconds. So good for you. Patreon, it's going to take me a little more time because there were so many entries that came in. Also, at the very beginning of the show, I put up the graphic for the passing of New Jack. You want to check out the tribute that I paid, little opening tribute to New Jack. Check out Friday's show. There's timestamps. You can go right to it. I mean, it's no secret that I've been friendly with New Jack since 1996, and I have a ton of podcasts, audio with him and I. I've worked events with him. I was in storylines with him. There was that one infamous night that Mish called me at 3:30 in the morning, dude, you got to go on your Facebook page. And here I'm thinking that it got spammed because we used to get a lot of spam on the page. And he's like, no, go on there now. And I'm in a deep sleep. I go on my Facebook page and New Jack is threatening to kill me because somehow he thought that I was going to face him one-on-one in a match in Florida. It goes on and on and on. So I paid a nice little tribute on Friday. And believe me, off and on, probably on Thursdays, we'll play some clips, some highlights from some of the episodes I've done with New Jack over the years. And one thing is for certain, look, the guy has a very checkered past and there's a lot of people that despise him. Totally understandable. But like I said, people that knew him personally, if he liked you and he considered you a friend, not a close friend, but if he considered you a friend, he was awesome. I mean, I played that clip Friday. I have it queued in case anybody wants to hear it here. If you didn't tune in Friday, I'll share it later on. But I get through with you, you will say, man, you know, that guy did some fucked up shit in his life, but talk about one of the... I never laughed as much doing shows as I laughed with New Jack. The guy was totally different on the outside, you know, so... Yeah. But I want to mention another death that happened earlier today. I know a lot of you out there will not really be familiar with this guy, but believe me when I tell you, in the early 80s, especially for the NWA, he was a fairly big deal. Don Kernoodle died today at the age of 71. You know, had the infamous tag team run with Sergeant Slaughter, that infamous cage match with Slaughter and Kernoodle versus Jay Youngblood and Ricky Steamboat. He died earlier today at 71. So no idea the cause of death, but he passed away as well. And I definitely want... I'll share the clip at the very end, because I don't want to pain Mish through 5 minutes of audio if he doesn't want to check it out. So we can...
No, it's fine. Did you see the Paul Heyman tribute at the end of Talking Smack?
Yes. I brought it up yesterday for a couple of moments. I mean, I've met Paul Heyman a few times in my life, and I actually had the privilege of pushing tickets for ECW in 2000 and early 2001, which really not 01 at all. And over these years, I rarely ever saw Paul Heyman get teary-eyed. And to see him get that choked up about New Jack, that surprised me yesterday. That really surprised me. Because there's so many years removed from ECW. But like I said, you know, you see Paul Heyman, you know, you would think, you know, he would get choked up over some others, you know, when they meet their demise. But the way he got choked up about New Jack, that should give you a little idea of, if you got to know him personally, I mean, the guy was just hilarious and funny. Right. And just to see Paul Heyman get choked up like that, that was powerful. That was powerful. And you know what? Props to WWE for allowing him a couple of minutes to pay tribute to New Jack. That was fucking awesome. Right. It was awesome. Yeah. So, by the way, for those that are interested, there are a couple of shirts on sale now at Pro Wrestling Tees. They will only be up for a short period of time. The proceeds, all the proceeds, not the profits, the proceeds, every dollar that is generated, will go to New Jack's wife, cover obvious expenses. I will be picking up one of these shirts without a doubt.
Oh, so sure. Yeah.
If you want to go check it out, Pro Wrestling Tees. And like I said, at the very end, we'll end the show on a really funny note. I will play the clip at the very end. So we won't really need to do much else today. We've gone an hour, and we've talked a lot about some of the matches tonight. So now we'll fill in the blanks. We'll answer a couple of more super chats, play the New Jack clip that I shared on Friday, and we'll call it a night. So, as we said earlier, the opening, Lashley celebrating. No Braun Strowman tonight, but Drew McIntyre interferes the party. The women are screaming way over the top. Then we get a match I thought was an absolute waste. AJ Styles with Omos in his corner versus Elias with Jackson Ryker in his corner. It was a fun, decent 12-minute match. But it just ended in dumb clusterfuck. Jackson Ryker getting involved, DQ finish. I mean, is this where they're going with the Raw tag team division? That AJ Styles and Omos? Because you and I talked about it before, that it seems like they're leaning towards making them baby faces. After tonight, I don't know if I want to see Elias and Jackson Ryker fighting for the tag championships. Look how they've used them in the last year.
It's fine. But that's what this is for. That's what this grace period of time is for. Every single time, once you get past WrestleMania, WWE starts throwing shit against the wall. And I'm not trying to say that Jackson Ryker or anybody else is shit. I'm just saying that they're going to try new ideas. Elias is a guy that a lot of people have been wondering, why in the hell? This guy has a good look. He's good on the mic. He has a gimmick that works. He's got the fucking guitar and everything. And he's just never seemed to find his stride. Jackson Ryker is relatively an untested guy that's on the main roster. And while he's been around for a minute, it's almost like if he wasn't, nobody would care otherwise. So now that you have AJ and Almos as the new tag team guys and people want to see them out there more, why not try Elias and Ryker? It's something to do afterwards. Now, am I expecting this to end up in a 6-month blood feud? No, not at all. This is going to be a one and done for the brass in the back and for the people at home to see if they enjoy the outcome of this match or not. Once again, this isn't like an exhibition feud as opposed to just an exhibition match. These are all exhibition feuds to test people right now that's on the roster. Because I don't doubt that while we're sitting there looking at these guys and going, ugh, I don't want to see Jackson Ryker and Elias hold the belts. At the same time, this might be opening up the doors for more returns. Like you said, Becky Lynch and Brock Lesnar and other people that might be returning because now you've got Miz taking time off. Now, I don't know if Johnny Drip Drip is going to have much time around. He might be taking time off soon. And so now you're going to have this revolving door of like maybe some new NXT talent is coming up. Maybe some people we haven't seen for a while are coming up. Maybe Cedric Alexander is gone and Shelton Benjamin's going to get a singles push. Like, I see all these pieces moving. I just don't know where they're going to finally fit.
It's just, you know, the way they've used Elias and Jackson Ryker for this long, we're supposed to buy into them being serious contenders suddenly.
No, not at all.
It's a hard sell for me.
You're not supposed to buy into them at all. You're supposed to either enjoy it for what it is or poo-poo on it because it's bad. That's it. Like, I don't feel in this scenario, and I know this is like a WWE apologist thing that I got going on right now. I don't feel that the time after WrestleMania is when we should really put the screws in. I don't ever feel like after WrestleMania that the matches and the feuds that they have mean all that much. Once you get past SummerSlam, once you get into Survivor Series, that's when the anger should be coming out for bad storylines because that's when they're formulating the biggest time of the year.
Lex's Playground with Daddy and Tamina talked about it before. You know,
yes.
Alexa asking Tamina, how was it like? How did you like beating up Reginald? Which this segment it fell flat. I mean, Tamina, I thought, was the star of it, like you said. She's like, can we leave now? And they just disappeared. Like I said, the whole storyline is you don't disrespect Lily. And Lily hates all women. Not only did Tamina disrespect Lily, but they left without saying goodbye. Why wouldn't Lily get pissed off at that? Does she like that Tamina was an absolute bitch? I mean, I thought she hated all the women. I didn't like it.
They're sticking to their with the Bliss stuff, DT. I don't think you can take anything to heart. I don't think that whatever happens with Alexa Bliss and Lily matter.
I thought it was a little bit of a waste. So I did get a kick out of some of what went down later on. AS7607 is Alexa Bliss. Looks like an emo doing witchcraft. Yeah. And she didn't even do anything. She just smiled at the TV, at the, you know, the ring. It's not like she did like a Bewitched. I know I'm outdated. I never liked that show either. But it's the first thing that came to mind. It's not like they put the camera on Alexa Bliss and she went like whatever that woman is. Like, she didn't like do anything. She wasn't even like nothing. She's just smiling. And the flames go off. And like I, Reggie should be fired. I stuck up for this guy repeatedly, but look how freaking far he is from there. And they actually caught it on the camera, and he's selling it like he was absolutely blinded by it. It was just god-awful. It was pathetic. And then Shayna Baszler, who honestly, if you pay attention to the storyline, she doesn't give a shit about Reginald.
Oh, not at all.
So why does she give a shit? Why is she acting like all concerned because of what happened with Reginald? She's looking in the other direction. I would have been laughing. So what happens? You know, she gets, you know, blindsided. They do the heart attack finish. And Nia and Shayna lose their opportunity. Nia is tending to Reginald, which, like I said, I don't know what the fuck that was. I mean, he's acting like he's blinded. Was it the brightness of the lights, the fire?
Okay. Well, let's be honest. Reginald doesn't act like a very tough guy to begin with. And his relationship with Nia is kind of in reverse, where Nia is kind of the Reginald's protector. So in this scenario, I wonder if it's Reginald being a little sensitive to what happened with the fire. And now you've got Nia who's going to baby him and, oh, it's going to be all right, honey. I'll protect you. I won't let those bad people put fire at you anymore.
You know what I would have done then? Instead of Reggie selling that his eyes got burned from the fire, he should have just went, like act like a little fucking wimp, go in the corner and shake.
Kind of like, did.
You know, like, just like, and Nia is coddling him. It's okay. It's okay. Relax. Have a sip of water. You know, that's what I would have done. Instead of acting blinded, he should have acted like a little, pardon my language, everyone, he should have acted like a little prissy pussy. Afraid, startled, boom. That's what I would have done. They didn't do that.
Yeah.
Brandon Jones says, that is a character. Alexa Bliss is misunderstood. She's a misunderstood witch with no guidance from Bray Wyatt, playing around with a demon doll. And he figured it out, so he doesn't have any problem with Alexa's character. We don't have any problem with Alexa's character either. But it needs a little bit more concrete direction.
There's no direction. That's my problem with the character. Is that you went through all of this, you pretty much buried Bray, you completely just threw away the Randy Orton buildup and storyline for no reason at all, and all you got out of it was a 30-cent doll, and now you talk to the doll like it's a person, which this doll has supposedly been in her life as a character since she was a kid. So, yeah, dude, I do have a problem with the character. It doesn't make any fucking sense. And now they're rewriting their own rules. Like you just said, doesn't Lily hate all women? Oh, well, but not tonight.
Yeah.
She hates all women, but not on Monday nights. On Monday nights, she's cool with all women. It's they're constantly rewriting this character. And while the campiness is fine, keep it campy, it just, as far as her character goes, it doesn't make any sense. Because you want to have her in these goofy storylines, but then you want us to try and believe that she's a legitimate competitor for the title, too. She's a legitimate wrestler for the ring, too. You can't have both. Right. You can't do her in both ways. She's not The Undertaker. She's not Kane. She's not even Bray Wyatt.
She's,
you know what I mean?
You know, I just thought about it. I'm saying this nicely. She needs to seriously fuck up Reginald. Like, seriously, like, Nia Jax has to, like, be in the back, and Reginald is, like, tied upside down, like, almost like a bad cartoon where there's, like, a big, like, flame underneath him or something, and, like, it looks like he's being cooked for dinner or something like that. Like, it's got to look like bad cartoons that Nia Jax keeps coming for the... Alexa Bliss has got to fuck up Reginald. She's got to play mind games on Nia. You know, you could even, well, you could have Nia in catering and she's about to eat into like this giant thing of sushi and she opens it up and it's like a horse's head or something like that. We got to get, that's, the, Alexa Bliss has to kill Reggie. Not.
Wait a minute. I want to focus on this for a moment. Because the way you just, so there's a giant piece of sushi and the sushi opens up into a horse's head.
You know, I honestly, I could picture her like, you're like, I'm going to go eat my sushi. She's in catering. She sits down and she looks down. And honestly, like the piece of fish, they could do some goofy like thing. And then you see the fish like smile and go. Could you? Oh, my God. I could see that. She's Alexa Bliss has to kill Reginald. WWE, if you're listening, put Velveteen Dream with Eva. I'm getting sick. Is this Emmeline all over again? Are we going to get like nine weeks of Eva promos, the same shit over and over again?
I love it. I already love it because just like you, there's a lot of people out there getting really irritated with Evolution. I'm really digging it. I hope that next week they do three different vignettes for the evening, talking about what a role model she is and how difficult it is to have the perfect picture shot, and all she's doing is just wearing pants and flexing her ass muscles. Oh,
she's
dude,
gonna have an avocado and say like, you know, that you like, you can't, it's so hard to find the perfect avocado. Like, you got to make her like prissy. You got to make her like a redheaded Nikki Bella.
Dude, people are already into it. Like, for whatever reason, whoever's writing her character knows how to use her character because people are already pissed at her. It's only been, 3 weeks? And people are already pissed, DT. They can't stand her. And once again, this girl hasn't even fucking debuted yet. It's literally a repeat of the first time around. It's just vignettes. And then she's going to have this moment where it's like, okay, on June 21st, she's going to debut. And she's going to come down to the ring and she's going to wave and she's going to leave. She's going to pull a Jarrett. Dude, I'm already digging it because I know where this character is going and I'm all for it. Fuck with the fans.
By the way,
fuck with them.
A few people asked if I was having SodaStream. No. I didn't go with SodaStream. I went with ARK. A-A-R-K-E. Believe it or not, it's a soda maker, just like SodaStream. It looks like a SodaStream bottle, but it makes a lot more bubbles than SodaStream. That's why I bought it. So you go on Amazon, it's ARK. A-A-R-K-E. So, yeah, that's what it is. It's club soda, but I make my own now. The other stuff's too expensive. So, yes, it's Emelina 2.0. So, Brandon, let's see where this goes. But I think we will see Bray Wyatt.
And thank you again for the super chat, dude. Really appreciate the support tonight.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Brandon. Yeah.
I mean, so everybody knows, you know, when I split everything with Mish at the end of the month, you know, obviously YouTube takes a third, which sucks.
Right.
But once we take the third and divide it, you know, it all works out in the end. But thank you, Brandon, for that. It was very kind of you. Very kind of you.
Thank you.
Crazy Cruiserweight says, all these big men in WWE currently on the main roster really makes them want to see AOP back in the WWE. Yeah. Fuck happened with them?
I know they're not around, and it's sad too because they would fit right now. It's a perfect time. WWE crazy. You're right. They're focusing on big men more than ever, and you would think a brand new tag team of two big dudes would have worked perfectly. It's just sad that Paul Ellering could no longer be their manager, and they lost Rachel. So Rachel couldn't be their manager either, which would have made perfect sense for what it was. And we sure didn't want Drake Maverick being their manager with the pee in the pants and all that other shit. So, I mean, I guess I'm glad that they're not being subjected to that. And they weren't a strong enough tag team to be by themselves. Like, that wouldn't have been told.
Pretty damn good in Impact.
Well, if they go there, then get Rachel to be their manager. You know, I'm just saying.
That's not a bad idea.
I don't know.
By the way, I explained it to everybody on Friday. Now you're seeing exactly what I'm talking about. Showbuzz Daily. Their website is still down. And
really?
Yeah. A lot of people realize now that all these podcasts that claim they had all these connections with ratings, all they did was go on Showbuzz Daily's website, as did I. I admit it. I used to have a big account with Nielsen, and I let it close back in like 2006 or 7. Should have never closed it because I had a lot of access to a lot of specific numbers. But Showbuzz Daily, and I explained it on Friday, for those that know about their site, their site's been down. What happened was they use WordPress. And one of the things that you're always told when you do a WordPress update is to always back up your website. And right. Believe it or not, as ridiculous as this sounds, Showbuzz Daily never had a daily backup tape of their website. So what happened, and I could guarantee you that I'm 1,000% right on this. They weren't hacked. Anyone thinks they weren't hacked. What happened was somebody behind the scenes did a WordPress update, did not back anything up, and screwed up something with their plugins. And as a result, everything crashed. And they couldn't restore it because they didn't have backup tapes. If they had backup tapes, they could reinstall WordPress. Mitch did it for me many years ago. You reinstall WordPress, and then you just restore all your files. So right. When they went on social media today and said, we'll be able to bring some things back, but we don't think we'll be able to bring everything back, that's because you're realizing now they didn't do daily updates. Hell, I do daily updates on my website. And honestly, right. I could care less if my website crashes and burns tomorrow because most of you out there access the shows either through iTunes, the app, YouTube, there's other mediums. So the website is just a more convenient way to put everything in one spot. But Showbuzz right. Daily, they screwed themselves up so bad. So we don't know when we're going to get Impact Wrestling's rating. So just figured I'd share that because a lot of people were wondering what's going on with that site. But, I personally think AOP would be a great fit in Impact Wrestling. I don't see it in AEW. The way they're utilizing their roster, I don't see that at all. WWE, they might get lost in a shuffle, but AOP is too good to not be featured in a pretty big promotion right now, in my opinion. So, Angel Gods are beating Drew. What?
Maybe change their names. Occam and Razor.
No, they have to change their names because WWE owns
right.
them. But still, they're good enough and they're huge. They should be able to. They should be on TV. So, Angel Gods are beating Drew Gulak 2 minutes. No rose in the ass this time. Now it's the rose in the mouth. Where this is leading, I have no idea. Akira Tozawa wins the 24/7 championship. R-Truth hiding, interview with Kevin Patrick. R-Truth kind of like mixes it up, thinks that he has the open challenge. Tozawa, fruit roll. A lot of fruit roll-ups tonight, by the way.
Yes.
A lot of fruit roll-ups tonight. Kofi, fruit roll-up, Randy Orton. We had fruit roll-up, Kofi and Bobby Lashley. We had Tozawa, fruit roll-up. There was a lot of fruit roll-ups tonight.
Yeah.
So, Asuka, didn't Asuka have the fruit roll-up? I think Asuka had the fruit roll-up, too. She didn't make Charlotte tap out.
No. They were going back and forth with the submissions, but yeah. Did she?
Oh,
yeah, I
think by the way. Right. You're not going to be able to see anything. If you were watching Asuka versus Charlotte and your screen went black twice during the match, everyone, there was a legitimate reason behind it. Again, you won't see it because there is a delay, and obviously USA Network picked up on it before we could see anything. You look at this photo, looks pretty innocent. If I zoom in a little bit, you will see that Charlotte's left bosom, you could kind of see like a little shade of color, and she started to have a little bit of a pop out. So USA Network, again, you don't see anything, but USA Network, darken the screen just as a safe precaution. So just figured I'd say it. It was a small package. Nick, it's the fruit roll-up. Small package, the roll-up, anything like that, we call it the fruit roll-up. And that's what we got tonight. I tell you, man, watching Asuka versus Charlotte today, and I understand they were trying to tell the story with Rhea Ripley at ringside. They will. Maybe this is the beginning of WWE bringing Rhea Ripley back as Rhea Ripley and not Charlotte Light like they did at Mania.
Right.
But what a far cry from Charlotte versus Asuka WrestleMania a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
It was fun, but it was really quirky at moments. I mean, I would think that they would have gelled so much better tonight.
Yes. And
what's going on?
I agree. I don't know. Look, that triple threat last night, I was very unhappy with it. All three girls were very sloppy in the ring. You go back and watch that. There was a lot of missed shots. There was a lot of, you know, foreshadowing of moves last night. It was very, very bad. And, you know, tonight, like, there was a lot of people saying, oh, well, maybe it's Rhea. Maybe it's Rhea. It could be Rhea. But then you look at tonight, and, man, Asuka and Charlotte were falling all over each other tonight.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. I don't know what's happening there. But there is some serious miscommunication. Maybe Charlotte needs to kick off a little ring rust. I don't know if that's it. Maybe Asuka's tired. I don't know if that's it. But, you're right. There's something going on in the background that's not part of the storyline, that's not part of the gimmick, that one of these two girls is suffering. There's something going on.
And I know we're not supposed to ever criticize Asuka. I mean, obviously, we're huge fans of Asuka.
It's not a criticism because we're actually just kind of wondering, like, how do you have two women? Well, how do you have these women who are regularly going out there and having these outstanding matches and not say something when all of a sudden, a year later, they're having the opposite of outstanding matches?
Right. Look.
That's just concern.
One thing I have extreme respect for, that's the work ethic of wrestlers out of Japan. The work ethic is, I don't want to say next to none, but hard, hard, hard work. And I almost think that for Asuka, she's got too much pride and her work ethic is so top-notch that she doesn't believe in vacations. You know what I mean? Like, it's different in NXT with Io Shirai. I'm tired. Like, as ridiculous as that came across, that made the most sense. I'm tired.
Right.
I'm tired. I want a little break. You can't do that on Raw, obviously, but maybe they should consider an injury angle with Asuka. I think Asuka needs some time off. Relax her legs. Maybe there's a slight timing issue with her. You know,
Would it be a good time, especially if you're predicting this here, DT? Would it be a good time to take Asuka off TV when Becky comes back?
I don't know. I think Becky Lynch is destined for SmackDown. I see Becky Lynch feuding with either Bayley or coming.
She's on the Raw roster still. Like, if you go to WWE.com right now, she's still under the Raw roster.
We may be getting a draft. I don't mean air coming in from outside. I mean the WWE draft. I think they're going you're going to start hearing some rumbling about the draft. And, you know, especially with live fans coming back, maybe you do the draft right before. You know, who knows?
Sure.
But I just think Asuka needs some time off. Force her to take some vacation. You know, I brought it up yesterday. People, I think, forgot. Asuka was the MVP of Raw last year.
Yes.
Especially when Kairi Sane was still around, she was the person on Raw that everybody said she was the MVP. She hasn't taken any time off. I mean, you got a little here and there, but I think she needs a good month off. I think she needs a forced vacation. That might be needed. So
fair enough.
Randy Orton versus Kofi. You know, another one. I thought this match kind of fell flat tonight. It was quirky. I think the big thing coming out of this match was, you know, Xavier Woods distracting Randy Orton with the trombone. And then Kofi with the fruit roll-up to Randy Orton. But then Riddle getting a little bit pissed off at the New Day. So interesting. I mean, early on, Riddle in the back trying to smooth things over with New Day and Randy Orton. And it was a little goofy, you know. But Riddle shutting down Xavier Woods?
Right. Didn't expect that at all. Didn't expect Matt Riddle to take Randy Orton's back like that. I was and you know what? Points to Randy Orton. I know we're not really talking about the gaga of the match, but there was a point right when the match was over that I wasn't sure if Randy Orton was going to fucking RKO Matt Riddle or if he was going to RKO Kofi or if he was just going to RKO everyone and leave. But it was like, it was funny because you saw all the emotions in Randy's face. Because this is, once again, I'll always praise where Randy Orton tries. He does a good job. You could see all of this in his face and he just wanted to kill everybody in the ring. And then he became disgusted with it because Matt Riddle and Xavier Woods and Kofi were just yelling at each other. And he was just kind of like, ah, fuck all of you. You know, and just left. And then Matt Riddle shoves Xavier Woods to the mat, which I didn't expect. And as Randy Orton's going up the ramp, you see Matt Riddle trailing behind him, kind of like, yeah, they fucked you, man. Like, that was wrong. Like, I try to do the right thing here, but those two assholes in the ring were wrong. And I'm like, wow, you just made Matt Riddle interesting. I don't know how the fuck you guys pulled it off. But now Matt Riddle is stuck in this vortex of, is he happy, stupid, high dude? Like, I got a scooter, dude. You know, like, is he going to be that guy? Or is he going to actually be genuinely upset because he thought Randy Orton wasn't in the wrong? And it would be weird. And here's the weird part is I can't remember the last time that somebody tried to defend Randy Orton. That's true. Where the weirdness comes true. In. So you have a rookie, a younger guy, trying to defend Randy Orton up against the New Day. It's unique. It's a fucking, I don't know if people are going to like it. They most likely didn't even see what I'm talking about. They probably didn't see the depth of it, but I saw it and I was like, holy shit, that's actually a decent storyline.
You know what this is designed for?
Yeah.
This is designed for these four guys to feud with each other. And by doing this, they're not in the tag team title picture. Let AJ Styles and Omos take on others. Right now, Riddle and Randy Orton are busy with the New Day, and the New Day are busy with RK-Bro. So you're going to have these two teams feuding with each other, and by doing that, it keeps them away from the tag title picture right now. So it's going to be interesting. I kind of like that. VJ, I didn't have a chance to look at the Riddle dance. So I'll promise you I'll look at it tomorrow, and Wednesday I'll do it a little bit. I should have done it on the Q&A earlier, but I didn't have time to look at it. So I don't usually look at the wrestlers. Like I said, I would have done the Sami Zayn one. I got his shirt inside that he put up for charity. But with all the turmoil going on overseas, you know, start doing Sami Zayn dance moves, you know, not the right time for that. So, yeah. Let's see. So we had Sheamus versus Ricochet, and similar to what they did with Nakamura and Baron Corbin's crown, Ricochet took Sheamus's outfit. Then we get the return match today. And, you know, although nice to see Ricochet back on television, 2 days in a row, Sheamus basically hands his ass to him. Best way I could put it. I mean,
they gave Rick O'Shea a character tonight.
I did pick up on Rick O'Shea,
yes. Which was funny because, Joey was even saying that the other day that maybe – him and Sheamus could be a tag team. Ricochet and Sheamus, the Irish brothers. But, yeah, I guess he's a thief. That's his thing now. That's Ricochet's gimmick, because he's a thief.
They botched the three count, obviously.
Yes, they did.
Sheamus with the high knee. The referee was not supposed to count the three. Ricochet was supposed to kick out of that. Ricochet was supposed to eat the bro kick and get pinned, but the referee counted the three, and then he's like, oh, fuck, this is not the finish. Hey, look, shit happens. I understand. Yeah. You know,
it's sloppy, though, DT. It's really sloppy. Yeah.
It is. But in the end, you know, and look, last week we were really worried about Humberto Carrillo, and it ends up Meltzer reported he's fine.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, shit, they did the injury thing because, all right, like you said, we tried Humberto for 2 weeks. Let's take him off TV. Now we'll put Ricochet out there. And they put Mansoor out there for a match. Now he's gone. And
they're just trying, man. You know what? This is the time.
I tell you this much. I know you and I talked about it with Jeff Hardy, with Drew, and a few others. Riddle, definitely Riddle. All those guys, and now Ricochet as well, talk about how good Sheamus still is. Because I know a lot of you out there don't have Sheamus too high on your list. But you look at Sheamus in the last 2 years, like I said, from Jeff Hardy to Riddle to Drew McIntyre to Ricochet, and I'm probably leaving some people out as well. Sheamus consistently has some of the best, smoothest matches on WWE television.
His matches with Drew this year were, bar none, some of my favorite Sheamus matches ever. Some of my favorite Sheamus matches ever were the back and forth between him and Drew McIntyre. It was good. They were some brutal matches. They were fun to watch. I'm sure they physically took a little bit of a toll on both men, but they were fun. They were hard-hitting, and they're matches that you can go back and watch later on, and they're still going to hold up. They were very, very solid. And it's kind of sad because it comes to the situational awareness that Sheamus is very good depending on the opponent that he has. Yeah. But depending on the opponent that he has, he's really good. Yeah. I was very surprised.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting to have Ricochet the last two nights wearing pretty much jeans and shoes, you know, which was a little interesting. But in the end, Sheamus, you know, still on top. Now we got to try to figure out who's going to be the next person try to step up with Sheamus. So we'll see. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if down the line we have Ricochet versus Carrillo versus Mansoor, and maybe the winner of those three takes on Sheamus at Hell in a Cell.
You think Jinder's going to step back in the ring? Because we just saw him the other week, too.
Jeff Hardy.
Right.
Yeah, I think, you know, they reintroduced him back on TV.
Right.
Hopefully they don't keep him off more than a week or two. I mean, you know, because look at the Viking Raiders.
Right.
He came back, squashed Shelton Cedric 2 weeks in a row.
I know that. Went nowhere. Yeah.
Yeah. But well, I'm glad they were Lumberjacks tonight. They were Lumberjacks.
Yeah, but I'm so glad that they got rid of that, because I think the Shelton and Cedric storyline is a little more important than pushing the Viking Raiders. Yeah. Like, between those four guys or those two teams, I would still look at Shelton and Cedric being something that the audience wants a little closure on, you know?
Yeah. What'd you think of Damian Priest versus Jomo tonight? I mean, they had real Lumberjacks this time, but that broke down pretty quickly.
Yeah, they had your favorite out there tonight, too. Lexi.
Yeah, Nikki Cross was the only woman around ringside as a Lumberjack. It was nice to see her. I mean, she was on main event last week.
Right.
You know, it's just, I mean, Damian Priest, they really need to stop moving away from this Miz Morrison stuff. I mean, I don't think people realize how many months this guy, if people are kind of sick of Lashley versus Drew, go back.
I think it's done. I think it's done. I think this was literally the wrap-up tonight.
Yeah, I think this was the wrap-up. It's got to be, because,
you know, Miz is gone.
This is Bad Bunny. They even teased the match for Mania. You're talking February, I would think it, maybe even earlier than that.
Yeah.
It's January or February.
It was February, I believe. Yeah.
We're in the middle of May.
I know.
So they really need to.
And you know what? He does need to move on. He does need a new opponent. You know what I mean? He's a younger guy. Right now, Damian Priest is the man because he's got the title. He's got he's got the momentum from WrestleMania. He's got the momentum from The Miz and Morrison. He's got the momentum from Bad Bunny. You know, he's in a position right now where he should be going up the ladder. He's in a position right now where he needs to challenge and be that guy that comes out. I wouldn't say throw him against Bobby Lashley already or nothing, because that would be a little crazy. But Damian Priest has the entire roster to work with. Yeah. So everybody should want to work with Damian Priest right now, because there's a lot of benefits to doing so, because he's fresh. He's new.
I think Damian Priest needs to step up against Sheamus.
That might be
interesting.
You think that they're going to work well together? Because, I mean, that's a weird one.
It would be interesting. It would be very interesting. I think that would be a great test for Damian
Priest. Let me ask you this, because you were also talking about the draft coming up. Would you move Damian Priest from Raw to SmackDown?
Maybe.
Would you do it?
Yeah? Maybe. I mean, a lot of people are fantasizing him versus Aleister Black.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know about that.
It's too early with two rookies. That's too early.
Yeah. But
I shouldn't say rookies, but you know what I mean.
I don't know. I mean, I just think it's time to move past Miz and Morrison.
Sure. Yes. So, agreed.
Then, I mean, the draft is not happening anytime soon. But then again, they could say next week, in 2 weeks, the draft.
Right, they just switched out.
Like 2 weeks, boom, draft.
And they got rid of Money in the Bank.
Yes.
So, I don't know. Do you think that they're going to bring back Money in the Bank, right? Yeah. They're not just
Money in the Bank, I think it's going to be July.
No.
Yeah.
It's not set up yet.
I think Money in the Bank will be July. Or June. No, wait, no. Count yourselves in June. No, Money in the Bank, I think it will be July.
Okay.
I think Money in the Bank may be July. I mean, look, I don't have any insider info. I don't want anybody to think.
Oh, no, I don't know, because I was looking it up earlier today, especially when they were talking about Hell in a Cell at WWE WrestleMania Backlash. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's interesting. So then when is Money in the Bank going to be? Like, are they going to move that down the road? Is that going to be something special, or are they just getting rid of it and trying something else that's
new? I think that's such a fun pay-per-view. To have live fans.
We come said back that here. About King of the Ring, and they got rid of King of the Ring.
Well, King of the Ring is going to come back as a SmackDown special.
Yeah, well, they've done
SmackDown themed episode for King of the Ring.
It hasn't been a pay per view in years,
right? But the idea of somebody climbing a ladder, going for the briefcase—you need that roar of the crowd. You need that energy, the roar, the excitement. So, if they bring back Money in a Bank in July, I think that's the perfect pay per view to have fans back in attendance. I think they will. So we'll see. We'll see. So Damian Priest, after he won his match against Morrison, and he gets on the mic, he accepts Lashley's challenge.
Yes.
Earlier in the night, we had T-Bar and Mace cutting a promo. They accept Lashley's challenge.
They did a good job. I didn't hate their promo tonight.
No, I thought it was very good, too.
Yeah.
I like the little bit of face paint that they're continuing. You know, for some reason, some people still think it's new face paint. They've had it all along.
Right.
But I thought the promo tonight was probably their most solid promo, especially that they teased that they were going to go up against Lashley. Now, they're going to be focused as a tag team.
Right. Well, and the other good thing, too, is the way that they delivered it tonight was very Shield-esque. You know, it had a little.
Reminded me a little bit of Acolytes, Shield,
right? Acolytes, Shield, exactly. And that's, you know what? That's not a bad idea to take from. If they start cutting promos like the Shield, like with the camera set up in front of them, with the facing upwards, and then at the same time they kind of look like a newer 2020 version of the Acolytes. These are not bad teams to take inspiration from. So if that's the direction that they're going, it worked tonight. Let's see what they do tomorrow. You know,
but in the end, and we opened up talking about it. In the end, it ended up being Kofi taking on Bobby Lashley. Yeah. You know, the match was okay. I think a lot of people were just wondering, like, out of everybody, with all these people accepting the challenges, you know, how come none of them were allowed to be in the match? People accepted a challenge, but we got Kofi. And I think the Shad Gaspard anniversary of his passing today was the reason why. No complaints. And Drew McIntyre getting involved at the end, because Drew wanted to face Lashley today as well, which Lashley and MVP refused. So Drew causes Lashley to lose the match. Kofi gets the fruit roll-up, and we go off the air, and it's more, you know, I don't like the play that, oh, it's an upset. I mean, yes, anybody that pins the champion is kind of an upset victory because you don't expect it. But Kofi has established himself to the point now where it shouldn't feel like, you know, like that much of an upset. It was more of Drew causing the win.
Right, but didn't you feel by them making the case that it was an upset was more about WWE still not accepting Kofi Kingston as main event guy?
No.
Because that's how I looked at it. I was like, oh, well, whoever's feeding the headset, whoever's feeding the pig, still looks at Kofi Kingston as a mid-carder.
Oh, I don't doubt some people behind the scenes feel that way. I agree with you there.
Right.
But, you know, Kofi's done enough that, you know, him as main eventing shows, I don't have any issue with it. I buy into it.
The fact that he's not regularly in the main event, and the only guy that's been regularly in the main event, or the guys that have been in the main event, are guys like Drew and guys like Braun Strowman. No. Miz being in the main event was even very odd. Miz having the title for a while there was very odd because even though Miz has been a multi-time champion, it still feels sometimes the way that WWE directs his career that Miz is not a main event guy, even though he is. And Kofi Kingston still feels like a mid-card guy. Like, it's almost as if because his career is so focused on being a tag team again, because his career – it's almost like Big E got out of New Day at the right time because now Kofi is stuck with Xavier Woods. Because if Kofi goes back into a singles run, DT, what the fuck happens to Xavier Woods?
Going back to a singles run. He got the match tonight, but that was.
But that's what I'm saying. Why not? He's a main event guy. He's a former champion. He held the title. Why don't they at least entertain the idea that Kofi Kingston should have a viable singles career?
He did, but it came out of nowhere and it was unexpected because of the injury to Mustafa Ali at the time. But tonight was about Drew screwing Lashley. Wasn't about Kofi winning. It was about Drew screwing Lashley. So next week, Lashley, you know, they're probably going to do the Hell in a Cell. That this is the only way that I could get rid of this guy is to destroy him in a cell. Tonight was just about Drew screwing Lashley. Whoever would have been in the ring with Lashley, that finish would have been exactly the same. So, you know, like I said, I personally think it would have been Shelton Benjamin if it wasn't the anniversary of Shad's passing. And I think that would have given a little bit of closure for the fact of how the Hurt Business split up. And Shelton was excellent in his role in the Hurt Business. And it would have given like a little bit of respect back, you know, from WWE to Shelton after everything that went down. But yeah, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, we go off the air and that pretty much was Raw. Not very good Raw. You know, I mean, a couple of spots that were interesting, and the RK-Bro New Day feud is kind of enticing. Other than that,
it's just testing. It's a lot of testing waters tonight. Testing the waters with Ricochet, testing the waters with AJ and Omos versus Elias and oh, Jesus, what's his name? Jackson Riker. You know, testing the waters with, I guess, Alexa Bliss being a part of this again. So that's a lot of testing the waters tonight.
Brandon says it's time for WWE to give Raw Women's Championship to up-and-coming stars, WWSM NXT stars that could take the challenge. Well, look, that's what Rhea Ripley is. Rhea Ripley just came up from NXT.
Right.
And again, the big problem, and it's obvious, it's glaring, and everybody sees it, Charlotte was not going to be at WrestleMania. Whether she was not 100% from COVID, or maybe the stuff with Andrade, you know, WWE, maybe that was their way of a little punishment, but
right.
Charlotte was not going to be in the match at Mania. I personally think she was 100% because she was right put back in the mix right after Mania was over. 24 hours is not that much of a difference. So with that said, it really felt, and you know, everybody knows what I'm about to say, I've said it 1,000 times before, that WWE wanted a heel to take on Asuka at WrestleMania. And when they decided to pull Charlotte, Rhea Ripley became Charlotte. And Rhea Ripley, totally out of her element of what got her to be one of the biggest, most popular stars in NXT, she came to the Raw roster, and they had her cutting promos that just felt forced. It felt like they were trying her to fill Charlotte's role for Mania, and it felt flat. And no one will admit that, obviously. Rhea Ripley is just going to say, I appreciate any opportunity that I have, and she is the Raw Women's Champion.
Right.
Yeah, so...
Believe me, she's happy either way. One way or the other, of course she's happy.
Yeah.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to come up from NXT and they say, okay, well, we're going to put you at WrestleMania, close to the main event, and we're also going to give you the title. No, I can't possibly. Yeah. Like, what the fuck? Of course you're going to take it.
But one thing for sure, I think Rhea Ripley is very uncomfortable with her promos.
Yeah, oh, well...
Even her telling Charlotte, you're a loser today.
Right.
You're a loser. I mean, Charlotte, even like the reaction to her, she's like, get the fuck out of here, and like walked away. Like, I don't know. I think Rhea Ripley, even she says to herself, how am I supposed to act in this? You know what I mean? Like, you don't want, if she's going to feud with Charlotte, you don't want Rhea Ripley to be a heel and Charlotte to be a heel. So I think they really need Rhea Ripley. I know I said this yesterday and it's kind of cliche, but they need Rhea Ripley to be Rhea Ripley, not Charlotte.
I want to explode on this girl because she's going through the same bullshit that fucking Bianca Belair is. The Rhea Ripley that we all loved in NXT is dead. The Rhea Ripley on the main event roster is a completely different person that's been co-designed by the creative team, by the people that surround Rhea Ripley and tell her in which direction she's going to go. The reason why her promos are not the same and why she's so much more robotic and even robotic in the ring is because the things that she was comfortable with in NXT, she cannot do in WWE on the main roster. I don't know why. I don't know what the reason is. They did the same thing to Bianca Belair when they turned her face. Everything that made her special as a heel, everything that she took with her from NXT. And you know what? You can go even deeper than that. You can go back to Charlotte when Charlotte was in NXT. You can go back to Becky Lynch. Well, maybe not Becky Lynch, but you can do that with Sasha. You can do that with Bayley. And you can look at how these women were in NXT and then look at how they are on the main roster and see the giant failures, the massive list of failures that had happened to them until they came into their own. Eventually, Sasha grew past the bullshit and became a good promo and became comfortable in herself. Bayley's kind of lost at the moment. Charlotte knows who she is. Charlotte's done a good job. Becky Lynch came into her own after fucking her face got busted open by Nia, which before that, people fucking hated Becky Lynch. They were bored of steampunk.
They weren't into her anyway.
Yeah, she was steampunk Becky Lynch with her goofy goggles and shit. Yeah, it didn't work, man. It wasn't until she got her face busted open and all of a sudden she became a badass.
But that people were like, oh, right now, NXT is dominating the women's championships.
Sure.
As far as the heavy, you know, the singles titles go, because you got Bianca and you got Rhea, but like you said, they forgot what got them to the main roster. They forgot about the character that got them to the main roster, and they're tweaking it. Bianca.
I don't think that they forgot. I think that WWE doesn't want them to do it.
Yeah, especially with Bianca Belair.
Right. Well, yeah, which is so stupid. I'm sorry, but when Bianca Belair was a heel, she was a better role model than she is as a babyface. She's complete garbage now. She's a nerd. She's a total fucking dork right now. This is not the Bianca Belair who was the EST going out there kicking people's asses because she knew she could. This is some dork that took Bianca Belair, man.
They may have done that so Sasha is the only one that is really the conceited. She's the boss. She's the one with the cocky attitude, the funny laugh when she's like, you know, what are you talking about? You know, like,
you can have more than one conceited woman.
Yeah, but I think WWE wanted to keep that all for Sasha. Because even Bayley's not even conceited. Bayley's just pain in the ass. Yeah, and I'm saying that as a compliment. I think WWE just wants Sasha to be that conceited, over the top boss. Like, she thinks she's the boss, you know? So, but I just, like I said, I think they just need Rhea to be Rhea, and they got to, you know, I mean, they just got to stop having her. They got to start tweaking the character, and I think they will. I think you're going to start seeing, in the next week or two, I think you're going to start seeing Rhea Ripley. You'll hear that piped in soundboard stuff start to have a little bit more cheers in it than the loud boos that WWE likes to pipe in. So we'll see.
Right.
And Scorpio 1117, how you doing, my friend? Thank you very much for the kind words. Best of luck on your job tomorrow. And I know, you know, our hours are a little bit strange sometimes, and a lot of you have to get up early for work. You know, like I said, I had a little serious convo earlier on the channel Q&A that, you know, a lot of people are giving me suggestions and advice. And, you know, very slowly, we're going to start tweaking the shows a little bit to have them end a little bit earlier in the night. So, you know, even if we have to add an extra show or two. But in the end, you know, as long as you're tuning in, I mean, that is the ultimate appreciation for us. And I thank you very much for the kind words. Glad I was able to entertain you a little bit during this pandemic. You know, it's not over yet, but we're in the right direction. And like I said, as long as you all keep tuning in and as long as I'm physically able to do this, I'm here for all of you. So I thank you very much for the kind words. Much appreciated, more than you could imagine. So thank you. Thank you, Scorpio.
But thank
still
you, sir.
This for the 1117. You know what I'm talking about. And I'm just saying lighthearted. So anyway, everyone, before we go, like I said earlier, you know, New Jack obviously passed away abruptly at the age of 58. Friday, I told a bunch of stories of my personal interactions with New Jack over the years. I'm not going to get into any of those stories tonight. But one thing that I absolutely love is I have tens of hours of shows that I did with New Jack, Mass Maniac, back in the day. And I have all those archives. And when he passed on Friday, I raced literally a half an hour before showtime to find a 5-minute clip just to give you an idea of how much we would just laugh. And the thing with New Jack is, you know, everybody knows that story with Chris Cash. When Chris Cash said to him, hey, I'm going to call you the N-word on my show. Just go along with it. We'll do an angle. New Jack fucking pulverized this guy verbally. New Jack went on our show to confront the shit with Chris Cash, which I will play in the future for everyone. But when you hear people talking back at New Jack, you know, he's got this persona. You talk back at him, he's going to slash you. You hear the vibe in this 5-minute clip. It gives you a really good idea of the New Jack that we knew personally. And I know it sounds weird, But if you just think back to TNA when he was teaming up with Shark Boy and he was using those giant Hulk gloves and everything like that, there was a very, very funny, soft humor side of New Jack that not everybody got a chance to see. If, you know, I think Tommy Dreamer said it best on Friday, you know, if you were his friend, you know, you had nothing to worry about. You got on the wrong side. I think Simon Diamond said this on Friday. You get on the wrong side, and sometimes the vacuum cleaner shot to the nuts would connect. So here's a little clip. Like I said, I just grabbed it quickly just to share something. When you hear him say, Anthony, that is me, because as I always say, in my personal life, everybody knows me as Anthony. I don't go by Tony. Some people call me Tony, some people call me DT, but in my private life, I am known as Anthony. So when you hear with this clip and in the future, and he's talking about Anthony, that is yours truly. So this clip you're going to hear features Masked Maniac, New Jack, Axel Rotten, who unfortunately is no longer with us either, and myself. So it's 5 minutes. We'll close out with this so we have a little bit of a funny moment. Mish, stick around. I think you'll appreciate this. This is 15. Actually, you know what? I think it's 15 years ago today. Yeah, because today our episode is the 17th. This clip is from May 17th, 2006. Or 2007. I don't know. But it's 14 or 15 years ago today. To the day. Enjoy, everybody. And sorry for the audio quality. At that time, the equipment was very primitive. So,
see, and Frank, you know the funny part? Anthony is sitting back cracking the fuck up because, finally, when you got your motherfucking little radio, motherfucking internet shit, somebody, you always out talking everybody. But, Frank, you can't do that with me and Axel. Mad man, I don't give a motherfuck how mad you get and start pounding and jump up on the motherfucking thing and try to punch somebody in the face. I don't care about how mad you get about this shit. It don't matter. When you start calling motherfuckers out like you did, Axel, try to put him on the spot, you know you did.
I didn't try to put him on the spot. Oh, shut the fuck up. I didn't try to put him on the spot. He knows it. He knows it.
Hey, Frank.
Right. Let me tell you something. I've dealt with Axel's shit for years, and he dealt with my shit for years.
And Frank, let me ask you a question. Frank, let me ask you a question. What do you call a woman that can lick your nut and your butthole at the same time?
What?
Whatever she want to be called.
It's your phone
you call her baby.
Like
you call her baby. Yeah, baby, ain't it? Fuck you. Don't be trying to get mad and shut up. Don't be trying to get mad, maniac.
Tell
How
me
am
to
I
shut
getting
up.
Mad? I asked you if your phone card ran out. Why would I get mad because you're talking about sex? I mean, I'm not mad.
Right now, I'm on Sprint. It's free up to 7, Richards. It don't matter. I can talk all night long. If you hit me at motherfucking 701, I'm hanging up. And this shit ain't gonna be like one of your motherfucking shows. We ain't talking all goddamn night. The point has been made. We's done what we's gonna do. Damn it.
All right, that sounds good.
Hello? Somebody say something.
Come on in.
To tag with Franco. He done got lost.
What?
Hello? How you doing? Hey, brother.
Hey, Ashley, let's do one of them promos.
What, my brother? Promo, brother.
All right, let me tell you something, brother. On June the 16th, brother, I'm going to put you in a headlock.
Hey,
on June 16th, brother, I'm going to put you in a headlock and stick my finger in your nose, and I'm going to pull your eyebrows, brother.
Yeah, I'll one of those generic wrestler promos. Let me tell you something, brother. On June 16th, see, when I come to Florida, brother, I'm going to get New Jack, and I'm going to put him in a headlock, dude, and I'm going to put him on the mat and put him in an atomic knee drop, brother.
Baby, motherfucker.
Hey, Jack, do me a favor. I want to talk to Axel for a second, so shut up for a second. Hey, Axel, did you see Tommy Cairo's running shows?
No, I had no clue. He was still doing anything. Where's he running at, Jersey?
He's running shows in New Jersey. He opened up a wrestling school.
Sure, What'd you have a fallout or something? Are you not using him?
What'd you say?
I said, what do you have a fallout with him or something? You're not using
him? No. Me and Tommy have always been close. But his wife made him stay away from the wrestling business. Oh. Yeah, no, she didn't. She completely cut him off, that he couldn't do anything wrestling related because it was a bad influence on him. But I guess she said he can come back and do something.
Well, it's good to know that he's got his life under control. His wife's allowing him to do stuff.
Yeah, but you know, for him it was a different situation.
Well, yeah,
because,
of course, but.
You know, if he stays, it's like we talked about a long time ago with Bigelow. You know, when Bam Bam was away from wrestling, no, he had no demons. As soon as he was back in the locker room, there was problems.
I don't know about all that, man. I don't believe in all that shit, man.
I do.
No matter where you at.
I don't know. You know, like Tommy was different though. When he wasn't around wrestling, he was just going doing construction, and he wasn't getting hurt. As soon as he started getting hurt, he had to start taking painkillers, and that led to other things.
Who are you talking about?
Tommy Cairo.
Did you start talking about that shit to you?
What?
What'd you say about Tommy Rich?
I didn't say Tommy Rich. I said Tommy Cairo can kick your ass. That's what I said.
Hey, and you know what? He probably could.
He probably could. And you know who else could kick your ass?
Who?
Manny Fernandez would kick your ass all over the place.
Hey, friend, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Why are you riding on other motherfuckers' dick?
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, New Jack.
Weapons,
I would rip your fucking scrawny arms out of the socket and beat you with them. The only problem is I'd have to deal with you coming back and doing something bad with a weapon.
Wait a minute, what'd you say about my baloney? You said you would do what to my baloney? Hey, you can talk about my mom, but don't you ever in your neck talk about my baloney again.
Remember, New Jack, he Googles you.
Motherfucker. Now, I don't mind you talking about my mom, but next time you talk about my baloney, bro, I got to come through the phone.
Remember, New Jack.
Oh, goddamn, but,
remember, New Jack, he Googles you.
Hey, I want my baloney again.
I want my
daddy.
Give a fuck
about what you say.
I want my daddy.
Hey. Man, I'll kill your motherfucking ass, motherfucker.
Good googly goo.
Yeah, Maniac, have you Googled anybody else lately?
Who?
I want my daddy's record.
Hey, Frank.
Yeah.
I ain't tell you about it. I'm a vet Twitter quiz. I want you to hear something. Now, everybody be quiet on the count of three. Be quiet.
Alright,
eat a pussy. And the next time you talk about my baloney pussy head,
it's on.
Yeah, but you didn't count to three. I was waiting for you to count to three.
Oh, three.
Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the New Jack Axel Rotten Anthony Maz Maniac Frank Hour.
This is pretty bad. And I think none of us can come up with anything better to do tonight.
That episode went on for 2 hours. It's hilarious shit, man. I have tens of hours of that. guy just made us laugh. And like I said, you hear, you know, you tell him, shut up. He just, if he liked you, you got along with him. That's why when I had that one incident that time where he thought I was going to face him in a match because I'm not experienced and he was retiring, he flipped out. And like I said, Mish actually called me up in the wee hours in the morning. And he's like, dude, you need to go on your Facebook page right now. And I'm like, I'm sleeping. No, you need to. And I go on there, Frank, this fat bastard, I swear to God, Frank, I'm retiring. I'm going to slice him up. I'm going to kill him. And then I was like, wait, he thinks I'm going to face him. I was supposed to manage someone. So I wrote back. And the worst part about it is I didn't know if he was even online. So I wrote back and I said, no, New Jack, I'm not going to face you. I wouldn't disrespect you like that anyway. I said, I'm supposed to manage someone. And here I am. I'm waiting for a response. And like a few minutes later, he writes back. And all he writes is, my bad. Just wrote two words. Wrote, my bad. He scared the shit out of me. But the guy was, I'm telling you, there was a side of New Jack that I experienced that a lot of people, you know, I mean, people in wrestling obviously experience that as well. But, you know, I know a lot of you out there, you think of New Jack, you think of Mass Transit, you think of some, you know, outrageous hardcore stuff and, you know, some of the things outside of wrestling. But, you know, the side that I knew, and I went back 20 plus years. First talked to him in 1996. So, you know, rest in peace. You know, that really took me on Friday, took me by surprise. And, you know, I just thank God that I had the wherewithal to save a lot of these episodes and keep them in hard drives. And someone posted today, this was 15 years ago tonight, to the day, that episode. So in the future, and it'll probably be mostly on Thursday nights since Thursday is so relaxed and the vibe, and we get into pretty much anything. Thursdays, we'll spend a few weeks, and I'll share some clips and post some highlights, and I promise you, you'll be shedding tears of laughter. I mean, just hilarious, hilarious stuff. You'll hear them in an element that, you know, you normally would never hear. You would never hear someone doing an interview or a podcast with someone like that and be able to have combos like that. So, but yeah, with that said, Mish, we're running 2 hours. Any final thoughts before we call it?
No, we're good. Thank you very much, everyone. Appreciate the love and support. And I'll see you guys on Thursday or actually tomorrow.
Yeah, so. Tomorrow I'll be with you on Patreon. So I will talk to you tomorrow night right after NXT.
Awesome. Much love, DT. Much love, everyone.
Everyone, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for tuning in tonight. Big shout out to our great channel members here on YouTube. La Nostra Familia, very special crew out there. And like I said, for my channel members, I will post the thread Tuesday for this week's Q&A if you want to be part of it. I want to thank you all for your support. As always, if you don't mind, if you enjoyed tonight's episode, hit that like button. You know, as everybody says on YouTube, like, share, subscribe. You want to know something weird? I never knew that I can actually see who actually subscribes, like when they subscribe at dates. And someone was showing me some of the analytics today, and I went back and I looked at, you know, like some of the day, and it was pretty cool. Big shout out to some of you that, you know, just signed up recently and subscribed to the channel. But, you know, in all the years of doing this, you know, never thinking I would ever doing a YouTube channel, but I see everybody out there. Like, share, subscribe. But I'm gonna jet out of here. So it's 1:15 in the morning over here. I obviously have to get up very, very early for work. But if you're on our Patreon tomorrow night, 10:05 PM, right after NXT, Mish and I will be up talking a little bit NXT. some of our VIP questions and anybody who tunes in live, so you're welcome to join us. If not, I will be here Wednesday night after AEW Dynamite. We'll talk about NXT. We'll talk about this week's Dynamite. I will tell you, you know, we talked about the ratings last week with AEW, and I honestly don't understand why anybody out there thought that 936,000 viewers was a bad number. That's not a bad number for AEW. And again, these people that have really held AEW too high on a pedestal, those are the ones that are going to hurt AEW more than anyone else. I think this week's AEW, so far, what's been advertised, you know, I'm not kind of excited for this week's show. I mean, I know the Acclaimed versus Moxley and Kingston is one of the bigger matches they're announcing, but I don't know. I'm not feeling that all that much. There was rumors of Miro versus Lance Archer, which I would absolutely enjoy tuning into. There ain't no way Miro's losing this title that soon. So if they end up blowing their load on that match this soon, I don't know how I feel about that. So I think this Wednesday's AEW Dynamite, unless they pull some, you know, magic out of a bag, I wouldn't be surprised if the number goes down even further this week. But again, we don't even know what we're going to get on Wednesday. But right now, as far as what is advertised, you know, it might be a good thing for AEW that they start pulling it back a little bit, because they've been setting this bar way too high. And, you know, I understand with TNT and the TV deal, they got to give pay-per-view quality matches many times on regular TV. But sooner or later, that catches up to you. And this Wednesday, so far, it feels like it's kind of caught up to them a little bit. Unless we're going to get some absolute crash TV. Something tells me you're going to get a crazy amount of crash TV this week. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it on Wednesday. So, everyone, one final time. I didn't do it at all tonight. So, smash that like button. If you enjoyed the show, like, share, subscribe. Like, share, subscribe. And I will be back here Wednesday night, 10.05 p.m. after AEW Dynamite. Much love, everyone. Rest in peace, New Jack. Rest in peace, Don Kernoodle. And post your comments in the comment section. I respond to everybody. And send us feedback from tonight's show. Always appreciate it. Good night, everybody. Much love. Thank you, as always, for the support.